Colossians chapter 1, book of Colossians, New Testament, chapter 1. Let me read from verse 13 down through 18, actually 19, but really going to focus on starting at verse 15. But let me pick it up at verse 13. Colossians 1. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for allowing us to have this place to come together, to look into it. And as we look at it, Lord, study it, open our hearts to it, that You would look at us as Your people. Lord, pray for our country again. So many things going on. Pray for those over us in authority. May Your will be done. May Your will be done, whether they acknowledge You or not. Lord, You're the King of all the ages, the ruler of all the kings of the earth. May Your will be done. And help us to be Your people to bring You glory. We pray for that. Lord, for Your word as it goes out around the world, for those, Lord, You have allowed us to help support, may Your word bring forth fruit. May lives be transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for Christians in nations where it's more than hard, life-threatening, to name the name of Jesus in love. For You to just continue to give them grace, strength, to be bold in their witness for the Savior. For those agencies who are truly seeking to help physically, but also minister the gospel, Lord, for wisdom to them. So much is going on, Lord, but You are the God who knows it all, who's an individual life of an individual person is precious in Your sight. So we pray for our brothers and sisters, and we pray, Lord, You'd use their lives to bring many others to the Savior. Lord, for our needs, we again commit them to You. Shirley's here, be traveling for mercies. Others, Lord, with serious physical needs, Joy, Rosie, others. We pray Your mercies upon them, Your grace to them physically, Your help to them, Your peace to their hearts. and our needs, Lord. We might not be quite so serious, but they might not be physical at all. For the continued good working by your Spirit in our lives. For our good, eternal good. Thank you, Lord, for that. And again, Father, help us to understand your word. Speak to us by your Spirit. Speak to me. For your glory, Lord, we pray, because especially in this section, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Especially looking at verses 15 to 19. A young sentry was on guard, a sentry, for the first time, had orders not to admit any car into the area unless it had special identification seal on the bumper. Middle of the night, a car drove up, unmarked car, unmarked. Sentry stopped it, asked for identification. He couldn't see anything outside. Inside, a general and his driver. When the sentry advised him, he could not admit any car that didn't have the seal on it. The general became impatient and, ignoring the sentry, just told his driver, "Don't worry about it, drive on through." When the young sentry heard this, he looked into the back seat and politely said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I'm new at this. So could you tell me who to shoot first, you or the driver?" He wasn't going to let them pass, no matter what, because he had a responsibility to those who gave him his instructions, had to have the seal, doesn't matter who. Because the question is about, at that point, authority. His authority was the one who gave him orders, no matter who showed up at the door. The question of authority is still very relevant in our day. Who do I listen to? Who do I pay attention to? Who should I listen to? Authority. And really, even in our culture, authority takes so many forms. But again, we come back to Paul writing to the Colossian believers who he'd never seen. And Colossians, so far, you have notes in there, notes from the last couple of weeks. And then one of those for the scripture this week is where, if you want to take notes on there, I'll hopefully follow along my own outline. But Colossians so far has been Paul writing to them, "I've heard wonderful things about you." And then in the second section, "I'm praying for you." And now in this section, it's like, let's talk about Jesus and who he is. Because that's exactly what he does. We have the center focus of the entire book here. The supremacy, the centrality, the sovereignty of Jesus Christ over everything. Remember, one of the problems that the Colossian believers were facing were those who were self-made authorities, false teachers coming in and saying, "You're doing okay with your salvation and all through Jesus Christ. You're doing okay, but we can help you. We have something better. You know, you got a good start." And so it wasn't persecution. It was the problem of being taken off track, derailed, of the simplicity that is in Christ. So this was a severe threat, you know. There are groups that work, and it seems like on the mission fields, what I've been told in times past, what they want to do, cults come in and find out who the brand new baby Christians are. Because those are the ones that they can fool the easiest and get them off track and get them into their cult, whatever it is. So that was Paul's concern here. So we have this wonderful section starting in verse 15. Yes, for the first time in probably any series, I've skipped a couple of verses. 13 and 14. But I hope for good reason. Come back next week and you'll find out why. But I want to get to this, 15 through 19. Who is the person of Jesus Christ? Number one, he is the supreme God over eternity. Verse 15, how? Why? Well, it says that he is the image of the invisible God. The image, the Greek word where we get the English icon. Icon. So you have even your little icons. A stamp, a replication, not a duplication. In Hebrews chapter 1, which is not too far from here, Hebrews 1, it says of Jesus, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. There it is again, icon, the exact likeness, the manifestation, the visible expression. Jesus brings into view and makes knowable the God who is invisible. He makes knowable the God who is invisible, the God to see and follow and model life after. Scripture says, God manifest in the flesh. And that's why Jesus could say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Oh, it's not that Jesus was the Father. He is not, but as God, but he is God as the Father is, co-equal in power, might, honor, and essence. Hard to explain. Supreme God over eternity. Also, verses 15 to 17, he is supreme over creation. How and why? Verse 15, the firstborn over all creation. Four answers in these. The first is, he is called the firstborn. Firstborn. Now that's a Greek term. It's not the first of children. The firstborn. It is a term saying first in rank or honor. That is how the scripture uses it. First in rank or honor. And he's not even the firstborn of creation, the first thing made. He is first in honor and rank over all creation. That's number one. Number two, how he is supreme over creation. Number two, verse 16, he is the creator. For by him all things were created. And then it goes on to list the visible, the invisible, all authorities, whatever level, the natural, the supernatural, the material, the non-material. It doesn't matter what category. It is all things of earth and all things in space. All things in heaven and on earth. All things were created through him. The entire cosmos. And just quickly, to go back to our little universe, the speed of light, at the speed of light, all of it made by Jesus Christ. A ray of light travels at 160,000 miles per second. So if you had a big enough flashlight, you'd shine it at the moon, and that light would reach the moon in approximately 1.5 seconds. That's how fast. Now, if we could go that fast, you'd go to Mercury in 4.5 minutes. It's only 50 million miles away. Venus, 2 minutes. Mars, 4 minutes and 21 seconds. Jupiter, 35 minutes because it's 367 million miles away. Saturn, 1 hour and 11 seconds. Uranus, further. Neptune, further. Pluto, further. That's our universe. One writer says, and when you get to Pluto, if you're traveling, you're only at the front porch. Because it says that Jesus Christ is the one who made it all. I found it interesting. There's a star called Betelgeuse. It's not like the old movie. It's spelled way different. Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse is how it's pronounced. It's 640 light years away, and it is so large that the size of it would fit in the orbit of Jupiter. Not the Earth around the Sun, the orbit of Jupiter around the Sun, and that's how large Betelgeuse is as a single star. One writer says, that's big. And yet, who made all that matter? Who made all this stuff? Jesus. Somebody ought to tell the ACLU some of this, you know? It might help them. He's the one who created all things. But he's not only the creator, number 3, verse 16, he is the reason for creation. And all things were created through him and for him. He is the goal, the objective, the purpose of creation. He is the reason that all things exist. And he existed before everything else. He is, verse 17, before all things. Now that means he's pre-existent. He existed before. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God, plural term. Plural. Like family or team, God created. He is pre-existent. Number 4, he is supreme over creation because he sustains creation. Verse 17, in him all things consist or hold together. Now, what's the biggest thing in all the universe? The biggest part of the whole universe? It's space, right? The final frontier, whatever. Space. The smallest thing that you go down to an atom. You know what the largest thing in an atom is? It's space. It's like the universe in microminiature. You have all these things going around the nucleus of the atom. But it's space. And then the nucleus itself, which is mainly positive and neutral electrons. And of course, if you get your magnet experiment, positives repel each other. So what holds all that positive together at the center of the atom? It's called, this is a scientific term, strong force. That's it. That ought to turn our cranks. Strong force. They don't know exactly what the strong force is, but it's holding together a lot of things at the center of the atom that ought to repel it all apart. But it says Jesus is the one in whom all things hold together. David, did you find that laminin? Did you find the laminin? Cool, put it up. It's a protein in our bodies. You got a better picture? Or just that. There it is. This protein in our bodies, this is the actual shape of it, connects with other laminin, and as an important protein of our bodies, it's helpful in holding the skin of our cells together. Now, if the skin of the cells is not held together, we're all one big mushy mess. That's laminin that helps to hold us together. Isn't that amazing? That's the actual shape of it. In him, in Jesus, all things are held together. Thanks, Dave. Creation. Consists. There we go. Next, verse 18. Christ is supreme over all the church. How? Why? And he says a number of reasons. Number 1, he's the head of the church, the head of the body. The head of the church. Now, not to pop anybody's bubble, but it says that Christ is the head of the church. Not the pastor. Not the pope. not the elders, not the deacons, not a committee, not the members, not the rules. Christ is the head of the church. And what does the head do for the body? Wisdom, life, minor things like that. He is the head of the church, the supreme authority. He's the head. He's supreme over the church. But he's also the originator of the church, and therefore he's supreme. The beginning. The beginning is not the church. The beginning is Christ. Verse 18. He is the originator of the church, the beginning. The church was Jesus Christ's idea. He thought it up. It wasn't a group that got together at some point in history and said, let's do church. He is originator. It exists because he brought it into being. Number three, he is the firstborn. Verse 18. He is the firstborn, again, in rank and honor. The preeminence. Firstborn over the church. And that preeminence, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Preeminence? The ultimate position. The unsurpassable, the unrivaled, the unparalleled, the absolute authority in it all, preeminence. And so at the end of verse 18 and 19, we have the summary, his summary. But again, remember the problem. Because when you want to have an idea of Jesus Christ is good for a start, but there's more. It's like he's deficient in some ways. He's not more than enough. He's not even enough, as we sang. So we need to add a few things to what he's done for you. And in doing that, you begin to discredit the person of Jesus Christ. And you get to begin to discredit what he's done. But here it's who he is. And Paul just, that's why writers have said, this is one of the most Christ-centered, focused, obvious sections of Scripture in the entire Bible that just says of Jesus Christ, he's the supreme of this and this and this and this. Anything you can think of. The summary, Christ is supreme, verse 18 and 19. Where? And he says in verse 19, 18, all things. Did you count how many times all is used in this section? I read it for you 7 times. You can't have anything more than all. And it says of Jesus to the Father, in the fullness of, that it pleased the Father, that in him, in Christ, all the fullness of what? The fullness of the Godhead, the fullness of the essence of God, all of it should dwell. See, there cannot be any more than all, nor is there any less than all. So we can see now why any false, pseudo, even Christian group that wants to discredit in any way the person of Jesus Christ, and that's a good way in witnessing to somebody from something else, get to them about who is Jesus Christ. I asked somebody, I don't think much of a churchgoer this past week, I was like, with a question mark, Son of God? Like, okay. If they can discredit that, who is the person of Christ? That's major. And we will see anything less made of his work. There is one biblical term, and I'm going to close with this, a biblical term for the ultimate authority. And it's the term king. King. Because in the biblical times, in those thousands of years, you did not have for a location, for a city, for an area, for a nation, there was no other authority higher than the king. Unless maybe you had the queen who sat at his right hand. But it was the king who was recognized. The king. So Dr. S.M. Lockridge, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, prominent African-American congregation in San Diego, California, he pastored there from 1953 to 1993, 40 years. He was well known for his preaching across the United States around the world. One site estimated that his ministry influenced and impacted about 100,000 people. And I'm sure he did not have his own jet to fly him around the world. King. This came out of a Detroit sermon that he gave in 1976. If you heard this before, bear with me. But it summarizes so much the person of Jesus Christ. My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews, that's an ethnic king. He's the king of Israel, that's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now, that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." My king is the only one of whom there are no means of measure that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. He is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem of higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the fleshly necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one who is able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. That's my king. Do you know him? Well, my king is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of peaces. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His mercy is limitless. His goodness is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible, and he's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you this, that the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone some man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He has always been, and he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about black power, and white power, and green power. But in the end, all that matters is God's power. Thine is the power, yea, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And how long is that? Forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, then amen. Dr. Locke. He's the king, incomprehensible, unsurpassed. Is he my king? Is he your king? Well, you say, well, he's my savior. No, we're going to find you can't have Jesus as savior without being your king, because he is supreme. He's my savior. That's what Lord means, authority, king, supreme. Lord, is he your king? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your matchless word. We simply pause before our exalted, magnificent Savior, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. Help us to ask ourselves, Lord, are you our King? Are you our King? And what does that mean? That we may be a people who call attention to you and bring you glory, not to ourselves, but to you. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And all the people said,